back to the National Farm Machinery Show, broadcasting live from the Degelman booth here all week long. And hey, we just tip our hat to the Degelman folks for having us down here. It's fun. Joining us now is the president of the Kentucky Soybean Growers Association, Mr. Fred Sipes. Hello, Fred.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. Well, in the Dakotas and Minnesota, there's a lot of real proud soybean growers up there. Let's talk about growing soybeans in Kentucky.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. We're up here all week, and it's a good week to socialize and look at the big shiny equipment and all that. And
dream a little.
That's right. But we do, Kentucky Soybean Association has a booth up here, and we are membership driven. Somewhere around 900 members right now currently in the state of Kentucky.
Okay.
And that's one of our big pushes up here this week. We have a booth set up, and we're signing up renewing members and signing up new members.
Now, that's one thing I've been kind of ringing that bell for a number of years. If you grow the crop, join the grower organization.
That's right. We are a big voice in our state legislator in Frankfort, and as well as in Washington, D.C. It's a membership-driven organization, and as far as I'm concerned, the members, the directors, we represent every row of soybeans in the state of Kentucky. And we just try to be a good, strong voice for every soybean farmer in Kentucky.
Yeah, ballpark figure, how many farmers grow soybeans in Kentucky?
Oh, gosh, 4,000, yeah. Probably.
So you've got about 20%. Time to rally the troops there.
That's right. And like I said, we got membership. We got farmer leaders and staff working every day to recruit and renew members. So.
What are the policy challenges in the state? Are you very environmentally sensitive? I know you got a lot of streams and rivers and rolling topography. So what are the challenges legislative-wise?
In the state, just what you mentioned, the conservation and so of course conservation not quite into the legislative, but there's also certain challenges that we face, renewable fuels and things like that we fight and work for on a day-to-day basis in Frankfort. So.
Yeah, and it's uphill?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it seems like it is, but I tell you what, we have a very good, across the state of Kentucky, we have very good relationship with all of our legislators. They're well receptive to agriculture in general and especially soybeans, but we work good with them. Anytime we have any kind of issue, like you said, what you just mentioned, streams and waters, division of conservation, different things, we always have that phone number. We can pick up the phone and talk to somebody and hopefully get something done.
Yeah, so. We stopped by your booth this morning, and you've got all your farmers there on the board writing thank you notes to the legislator. That's a great idea.
Yes. So those thank you notes go a long ways, and it's a great time. This week, we have a lot of volunteers up here working the booth, and we can get a lot of signatures on those. And those are for legislators and also sponsors for our commodity conference we just had here in Bowling Green, Kentucky a few weeks ago. We have tremendous support through all kinds of industry, whether it be seed groups, chemical companies, machine companies, equipment dealers. We have tremendous support throughout our organization, and it's well received.
Yeah. Before we jump over to Washington challenges, and I know you go there regularly, tell us a little bit about the Sipes Farm.
Sipes Farms is about 40 miles southwest of here in a little town called Akron. My wife and I have got two kids, and we farm soybeans, corn, wheat, and we're still growing burley tobacco here.
All right. You're one of the few left, huh?
One of the few, and it's been a big challenge this past year. We had a pretty big drought in our area. The color wasn't very good, and the tobacco companies were kind of backing up on the contracts and prices this year, but luckily, we finally got rid of all of it, and I guess us farmers, as we say, it'll be better next year. So we're planting the 2020 crop right now. So we're going to keep growing it as long as our contracts hold out. But, of course, tobacco's changed a lot, and I don't mean to get away from the soybean side here, but tobacco's changed a lot in the industry in the last 15, 20 years. We're direct contracting to the cigarette makers, and it's got its pros and cons. But we're going to move forward and keep growing it as long as we can. So,
how many acres can you grow?
My allotment, they do by poundage, but to fulfill my poundage contracts, I grow 50 acres of tobacco.
And so, a lot of hand labor?
It's all hand labor.
All right. So yeah. You hire all that done?
I hire it all done.
You don't have 10 kids yet?
We've got two kids, and they're 18 months old.
Oh, so, okay.
Twin boys.
All right. So, oh, well, wow, congratulations. Yeah. Someday they're going to take over the same farm?
I hope so. I got a good feeling, and by the time they're big enough to farm and take over, we'll be very sustainable, hopefully, in soybeans and corn, wheat. But I don't feel like the tobacco will be in their future, honestly.
Yeah.
Like I said, it is a declining market, and we're preparing ourselves for that. We run a lot of beef cattle as well. We're very diversified in what we can manage and handle on our farm.
So. The greatest majority of the burley tobacco growers in this part of the country have been very interested in hemp.
Yes.
Do you see that as a viable crop here?
I see it as being something prominent down the road. There's still a lot of kinks to work out. The processing plants are having a hard time getting rolling and getting the money behind them, I think. Hemp is a lot like tobacco as far as manual labor and some of the storing it in the barns and stuff. I could see it helping out, but there's a lot of things to learn yet on the growing part and the marketing part of the crop, so it's still new. I think this year's the fifth year as a pilot program through Kentucky Department of Ag, and I'm excited for it. I hope it takes off, but I still think there's a lot of challenges for it.
Yeah, I think everybody is, if everybody grows hemp, then, and there's no market for it, it's going to collapse. Yeah,
that's right. Us farmers, we can produce anything, and we'll overproduce it if you show us a profit on it. But but we do need a good, dependable market for that crop.
So your corn, soybeans, wheat, and burley tobacco.
Burley tobacco.
All
and
right.
Beef cattle.
And cow-calf?
Cow-calf, and we background some. We run 250 mama cows, and we'll background 200 or 300 a year, just depending on some farm locations that we don't want to have cattle there all winter long or something. We'll put calves, light calves, on in the spring and let them eat the grass all summer, then get rid of them.
Now, 250 herd size, and that's exorbitantly large for this state.
It is. There is a lot of cow calves. Kentucky's the biggest calf state east of Mississippi. I know in y'all's area you got a lot of cattle, but a lot of 20, 30, 40, 50 cow calf groups here. But we farm a lot of ground, our bottom ground and our good laying ground. Talking about conservation, we won't crop anything that's steep hillsided that'll wash real bad. And that's where the pasture ground is and some tree lines and stuff like that. And that's where our cattle will go.
Yeah. And what's the favorite breed on the Sapes farm?
We run Black Angus bulls on crossbred cows.
Okay.
And we've crossbred. We'll run some Hereford bulls on our black cows. So we Fred likes the black and white face calf.
Okay.
And they grow good too.
So. All righty. And you don't have to pull too many of them.
That's right. That's right.
All righty. Well, now back to trade issues. We've got phase one signed. There was a lot of optimism there, but so far, kind of nothing's happening.
I'll tell you like I told somebody the other day. Somebody said, Fred, I heard you're president of the Soybean Association. What's going on with this trade deal? Thankfully, we got the trade deal signed. USMCA got signed. I think these deals are great. But until some of these places start buying soybeans and signing checks, I don't see nothing happening. Now, honestly, when these deals were announced, the bean market went down 2 or 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
So, I think it's the supply and demand, and Brazil's got a great crop, I hear. You know, read and watch it on the news. I think there's a lot of soybeans out there, and hopefully some of these countries kick in and start buying beans and help everything out there.
Yeah,
and
I think the worst thing that ever happened was the coronavirus.
I was getting ready to mention. We Washington, D.C. has been working with China and getting trade deals signed, then this outbreak happened, so that's not good in their country and their economy right now, and we're seeing the effects of it as well. So hopefully getting into spring, and spring planting is just right around the corner for us, April usually, depending on the weather. But hopefully we'll start seeing some rises in these prices of soybeans.
Yeah. So. The Kentucky Grow Organization, you got a claim to fame here for the last year or so. Keith Tapp, president of the Soybean Growers Nationally.
That's right. He was president of the Soybean Board, the checkoff side. And then Davy Stevens was ASA president. Both guys from Kentucky, know him very well. And they spent many days on the road traveling to D.C. and different places. They've really done a lot and put a lot of work in on the Kentucky state level as well as the national level. We're proud of both those guys.
And
they've done
a lot. When you go to D.C., I guess what's on your front burner?
When we go, and we'll be going next month, about the middle of March, the executive committee will be going. And, of course, we're still going to talk about trade policy, and we're going to thank our legislators for one thing. Mm-hmm. And that's one great thing about the organization, Kentucky Soybean Association and ASA. We will go, we'll sit in meetings, we'll get priorities, but then the next day we'll go to the Hill. We'll visit our lawmakers and to get to sit down with their staff and sit around a table and tell them what's our concerns in Kentucky. And they listen to us. I mean, we might not get it all done or things might not shake out the way we want it to that day, but they listen, they take note of what's going on. But we'll still talk about trade. And another thing we bring up a lot is transportation. We got a lot of we're wanting to do some work on some river channels and stuff to dredge and get the water level a little deeper to transport heavier barge loads of beans down the river.
Yeah.
That'd make a better basis for us. And and also renewable fuels. We're big into the biodiesels and the ethanols and stuff, and we need support there as well.
An announcement from Mike Steenhook of the Soy Transportation Coalition, and he said that Army Corps of Engineers have approved the dredging, the deepening of the lower Mississippi channel
below
Baton Rouge.
That's been on our radar for several months now here, and it's we're glad to see that done. Like I said, it's going to put, and I don't want to quote something and be wrong, but several million dollars back into Kentucky soybean farmers' hands. I mean, just like I said, the basis, transportation and all that. So, yeah.
Well, I wish we had another 15 minutes to visit, Fred, but we're on the clock here. So thank you for the work you do, because I know what you do for the growers in Kentucky, that certainly spills over to help growers in the rest of the U.S. of A. So
thank you very much for your time as well.
I hope you have a wonderful, profitable 2020.
Thank you.
You bet. Fred Sipes of the Kentucky Soybean Growers Association.